Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, May 24th, 2017, and with me today I have Kelly Gaumont. How's it going, Kelly?
It's going pretty well, Jeff. How about you?
It's going great, and we so rarely get to do a one-on-one show, so I'm excited about today.
I'm excited but a little disappointed because you and I tend to come at things differently, but I don't have to tell you that you're wrong as much as I do when we have a second guest.
Well, this makes your declarations of wrongness more special when they can happen.
That's true, it does. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, then, as long as we're here, we might as well just hop into the topics. And
yeah,
the first thing I want to talk about today is Swift, and specifically the announcement that Apple made today. They have this new Swift curriculum that they've put together, and it's available for free today on the iBook store. So anyone can go get it and start learning Swift, and you don't have to pay any money. And then this fall, it's going to be taught in a handful of community colleges around the United States, as well as several high schools. And so that's, in a nutshell, that's what's going on right now. And I figured who better to take a look at this than you, since you've been getting into coding, and I would say I've been getting into coding, but really I've learned how to use Apple's tools to make sticker packs.
Yeah, which is awesome. I will point out that's really great. And the reason I'm excited about that is because it's a very low barrier of entry, and lots of people have a clear idea of what they want from those or what they want those to be. So it's pretty easy to take some images that you have or some things that you have drawn and turn them into a sticker pack. And I mean, I think
it's a lot easier than writing apps.
Right.
There's, for me, there was a lot of work involved, but that's because I really care about what I'm creating.
Yeah. And for you, the work wasn't the creating part of it. Like, you knew what you wanted to have. And once you had it looking like you wanted to, then going from that to available in the App Store was not the hurdle that it is when you're trying to build an app.
Exactly. Yeah, the more difficult part for me in the grand scheme of things was actually creating the art so that it could become a sticker pack. And I'm kind of thinking it's been a while since I've done one. I should.
It's time.
It's time. All right. Well, then let's crowdsource this. Listeners, what should be the theme of my next sticker pack?
And you better tell him quick, because otherwise I'm just going to fill his head with ideas. So make sure you get on the docket yourself.
All right. Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Yeah, let me know. What do you want me to use as my theme for the next sticker pack that I make? Shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. Send me messages on Twitter @TMODaily. Leave comments in the show notes. If you know my phone number, send me a text message. Whatever. If you're in town and you know where to find me and you see me on the street, just yell it out to me.
I really want someone to do that now, just because I want to know that I live in a world where that happened.
Now I've got this vision of I'm walking down Pearl Street Mall, minding my own business, on my way to Starbucks, and out of the blue, I hear, "Hey, underpants," or something like that. And I look around, and there's someone giving me the knowing look of, yeah, I'm talking sticker packs.
That would be amazing. I really hope that somebody in the area makes that happen for you.
You know,
actually, I hope they make it happen for me, because I think that would be amazing.
There have been multiple occasions where I've been walking down around Pearl Street Mall. It's no secret I live in Boulder, Colorado, and I'll hear someone yell, "Hey, Mac Observer!" and I turn and I see who they are. And they have a technical question. And so, of course, I answer it for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that too. I live in Portland. Everybody knows that. And I've had the same thing. Although the weirdest time it happened was in the Burbank airport, which was a very odd experience. Like, yeah. Didn't you speak at my Mac user group a month ago? And I'm like, no, I don't live here. And they're like, no, in Portland. Oh, yeah, actually I did. So, yeah, it was very funny. So here's, first of all, before we talk about the Swift curriculum, I do want to talk about something else that happens in Portland regularly, which is App Camp for Girls. It's in Chicago also this year, and there's fundraising happening at this moment. And I will make a mini announcement here that we have a cafe press store for App Camp for Girls where you can go and buy App Camp for Girls branded paraphernalia if you so desire.
Wait. Why did I not know this before now?
Because it literally happened like the end of last week, the very beginning of this week.
Oh.
That's why.
Well, still, why did I not know this before now?
Because I forgot to tell you. That's why. That's on me. So.
All right. Well, I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes.
Yes. You can go to appcampforgirls.org and you can buy stuff now. The other thing that's great about this to me is that this is an evolution of something Apple's already doing. And to me, this is an evolution that makes a lot of sense. So before we even get to what the Swift curriculum means and how everybody can have it, initially we got Swift from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we've built this language for people to use to build apps with. So go use it. By and large, people I know who have done various flavors of programming throughout the years, we're pretty excited about it because it's very approachable and because there's a lot less, foreknowledge. Like, you don't have to have been programming in other languages already in order to understand how things operate in Swift. And for me, one of the great things about it is that switching from Objective-C, building apps in Objective-C at App Camp, because we only have a week, switching from Objective-C to Swift basically gave us an extra day of camp because we didn't have to spend a bunch of time explaining how all of this stuff fit together so that when you did it, it made sense so that then you could go on and build the rest of the app that you wanted to build.
That's always been such an annoying thing for me when I've learned various computer languages until I had enough under my belt that it was just a matter of learning new syntax, basically. Right. It was like you had to know how to do something before you could learn how to do the thing that you now know.
Right. And so it's like assuming that before you can put the key in the ignition of a car, you have to know how to build the entire car. Like in this case, every individual piece, you have to assemble an engine from scratch. And with Swift, they will hand you an engine and hand you a car body and hand you seats. And then, and doors. And it's up to you to assemble all the pieces in the right way for everything to run. And it's a lot easier to explain to somebody who's never coded anything before. It's a lot easier to understand as a person who's never coded anything before. And so Apple's next move after giving us Swift and then evolving Swift greatly, like the language is a changing language. They've updated many things and changed a lot of things to make stuff better. The next thing they did was Swift Playgrounds, so that anyone with an iPad, because it used to be, you had to have a Mac. And now if you have an iPad, you can actually do a certain amount of code right there on the iPad in a Swift Playground.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is awesome and free. Like, that's the other thing is Apple's giving all this stuff away. They gave away Swift. They give away Xcode. As long as you have an Apple ID with access to the App Store, you can have Xcode on your machine and you can build whatever you want to build using Swift or Objective-C, which is fantastic. I think I've never thought it was a bad idea to give away developer tools, but mm-hmm. I really like that Swift also made that more approachable. And now you can just put that on your computer and you're off to the races. Now you can put it on your iPad and you're off to the races. You can build some pretty sophisticated stuff in a Swift Playground. It's pretty great.
And now we've already had some educational curriculum materials from Apple that are available to everyone for free and are being used in schools. But now we have this whole new wave of materials that Apple is releasing today for free to anyone.
And what I looked through that, it looks like it's sort of a refinement of what they had out already with the anyone can code. Everyone can code.
Yeah, it's part of the Everyone Can Code initiative.
Yeah, everyone can code. And it's free on the iBook store. I already downloaded it. I saw it there this morning after the press release went out. And I went and checked it out. And I looked at the rest of the stuff that's available there. And it's pretty great. And I really like that Apple put this stuff out. Primarily, what's out there now in the iBook store in the Everyone Can Code series is mostly like teacher's guides. So if you're somebody who wants to teach programming to people, then the teacher's guides give you all the tools that you need in order to do that. And now Apple has this developed curriculum that they're going to start using in 5-6 community colleges.
Yeah, there's a handful of community colleges, and and I gather that there's going to be more by the time this actually rolls out, because the way they worded the press release, they listed off a few, mm-hmm. but made it sound kind of open-ended. So I think that they're in talks with other schools. Also, it's going to be in some high schools.
Which is also very cool. And the other thing I think about this is looking ahead, 2 weeks? I think we're going to hear more about this at the WWDC keynote, because that's where we heard about Swift the first time. That's where we heard about Swift Playgrounds the first time. And I think that this is the natural evolution of that. So I think they're going to spend a little bit of time on stage talking about that. I really hope they do, because I'm very excited to find out more about what Apple has to say about this specifically. Tim, I would love if they had whoever was leading the Everyone Can Code initiative there at Apple to walk out on stage and talk about it for a couple of minutes. I would really like to hear from somebody who works on this all the time what this is significant of and what it means to them and how they're going to work that out. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
I think this is just such a smart move on Apple's part, because
absolutely,
if you get people coding, and if you make it easy for people to get into coding, then you're going to get more people involved. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that people have at least a rudimentary understanding of coding, because there's so much that we can do with our computers. And our iPhones, our iPads, I consider those computers as well.
They're computers now, yeah.
And I just love the idea that people can start thinking outside of the physical device, mm-hmm. and the limitations that come with using just what everyone else makes, mm-hmm. and coming up with their own ideas. And even if they're not making something they're actually using on a daily basis, mm-hmm. having a better understanding of coding in general, I think is really important, because we live in a computer world now.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think is notable about this is that it's just another way to democratize all of this. And somebody with a really good idea could maybe sit down and bash it out in a Swift playground and do something with it. And, you know, when I think of the apps that I would build, you know, if I rattled off, here are the 5 apps I think the App Store needs off the top of my head, based on who I am and where I live and how I grew up and the stuff I like to do now, that may be a very different list than yours, mm-hmm. for example, or anyone listening. And I think that there's room for all of that. And I really like that this is the sort of stuff that can encourage people to develop an app. Like, a lot of people that I know who are app developers or have developed an app for the App Store in some way, whether it was their side project or their main thing, they're super excited about it. Primarily because, like, I built this thing for myself because I thought it would be useful. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I mentioned to other people, this is a thing I was working on, and they went, oh, wow, I totally need that too. And, you know, and then, like, finding out that you're not the only person who's trying to scratch that itch.
And the next thing you know, you're on the App Store.
Right. And I love the idea of making that happen. And I love the idea of putting these things together in ways that I hadn't thought of. Like, that's one of the things I've always been super excited about the iPad as a platform for is because I can see the potential in what you can do with it. Can I tell you all the things somebody could do with an iPad? No. And are any of those things going to be things that certain people are going to do with them? Probably not. But I can see the potential there for lots of other people to take one look at it and go, I know exactly what I could do with that. And now it just gets easier and easier, thanks to Apple, to build something for the iPad and you know, show off a little bit more of what it can do. And I can't wait to see how many people learn to code, how many people learn basic stuff and build something great. Like, I would really, really like that. The video they showed from last year of all of the different people who had learned to code in Swift was really inspirational, I thought. And I really like the idea of them continuing to lead the charge on this. I think it's fantastic.
Me too. All right, I'm going to move us on because there's something else that I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
And okay, so here's the deal. Yesterday, I chatted with Dave and Brian about IKEA getting into the smart home market. Uh-huh. And they were pretty optimistic about where this was going, and they liked the idea that IKEA had come up with this smart light system that's going to support HomeKit, Alexa, and Google Home, and it's going to be affordable. And check it out. My Echo just told me it didn't understand what I said. But so you and I, we've both been deep into this whole HomeKit thing. And
so
the reason I am so deep into the smart home market, it is all your fault.
It is. It totally is. And I willingly admit that.
And so on one hand, thank you. And on the other hand, I'm shaking my fist.
Gosh darn you. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing. We've both been burned so many times with the promises of our smart home gear versus the reality of how it actually performs.
Yes.
You ended up coining a term that I just loved, which was what was it? Smart home fatigue.
Yes,
and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this today, because you have smart home fatigue. I am on the verge of smart home fatigue, and even with all of this new HomeKit stuff coming out, it sure feels to me like on some level I've committed to the Echo platform instead, mm-hmm. because I've actually been able to get stuff done, even though it feels very limited and constraining. I can actually make stuff happen.
And that's where I'm at, is I find that by far I put the most mileage on stuff using Echo technology, you know, my Amazon unit, far more than the Siri HomeKit situation. And the thing I'm excited about with IKEA adding this is that I'm looking forward to this being commonly available. It's just another one of their light bulbs, but you can boss it around. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that I really like about this is that it's very nicely priced. You can get into it for $80.
Yeah. $10 more than the cheapest Philips Hue kit. Mm-hmm. But overall, the IKEA kits are less expensive because additional bulbs are all of them undercut what Philips offers.
Yeah. Because the, I think the most expensive IKEA bulb is $20. Right. And the least expensive Hue bulb is $15.
The least expensive Hue bulb is, I think it's $29.
Well, that's the color one, right? And then the white one is $15, I think.
Okay. We're both partway right and partway wrong. their low-end white-only bulb is $15. Their mid-range white only bulb is $29.
These are the Philips bulbs.
For Hue Philips. Bulbs.
Yeah.
And then the color Hue bulb is mm-hmm. I want to say $50.
That sounds about right.
And there is no color option from IKEA, at least right. Not yet.
So off the top, one of the things that I think is great about this is, first of all, compatibility. This was the first thing I was glad to hear about when I saw that IKEA wanted to add HomeKit, is that they're also adding Echo unit support and Google Home support.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means whatever you already have, or by extension, whatever your parents already have,
mm-hmm.
or it'll whoever, whatever family member you have, they can tell the lights to turn on and off in a particular place just by setting this up. And I think that is the really great part. Like, for people who want to maybe get into this, you don't have to be committed to one thing or another. So that's why I was excited about this. Like, my mom has an iPhone, so HomeKit, you know, may be the way to go for her. My dad has an Android phone, so it's entirely, but they're not married, by the way. So at my dad's house,
and I now you know why.
And so like at my dad's house, with his Android phone, he doesn't have anything, like any smart assistants or anything like that. So he doesn't like say the Google stuff to his phone and talk to it or anything. So it's entirely possible that I could get each of them one of these kits, and they can both operate it however they want to operate it. And that's fine. And, you know, encouraged. And so I'm excited about this becoming the sort of thing. This is what way more smart home stuff should be, is what I'm trying to say. It'll work with whatever assistant you have, because they admit that everybody has some sort of assistant, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right now there are like three. And here they are, and it works with all of them and out of the gate. And I really like that it's the white bulbs, so that, you know, because that's what most people have a need for. Not everybody needs to wire up their basement like a discotheque the way we did at my house with Hue bulbs and some cool apps that will make the lights change to the music. So there's a lot here to like, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting my hands on some, or setting them up for like one of my parents and having something that more people can use easily. Because right now the like solid recommendation I have for people who want to get into something like this is a Wemo switch, which is a slightly more sophisticated timer. You know, mm-hmm. if you plug a light into it or something. So I like the idea that this could be another way that lots and lots of people end up with some basic home automation in their house. And no, you know, you don't have to do the crazy stuff like that you and I have ended up setting up as we go down these rabbit holes. But I really like that it's a possibility.
Yes.
That more people could get into.
Yep. I'm with you. When I see this, I'm excited about what IKEA is doing, not for me, because I think I've already settled in on what my gear platform of choice is going to be, because mm-hmm. I've invested a lot in Philips Hue,
mm-hmm.
but for someone that's just getting into this, I think it's a great option. And while I am just slightly behind you on smart home fatigue, mm-hmm. I am, a little bit excited about what IKEA is doing, and optimistic that it's going to turn into a great thing for a lot of people.
And I think one of the things that sets this apart, like if I was looking at getting into automated lights or, you know, sort of remote control lights, is that this comes with an actual remote control. So if you're still somebody who wants a button to turn a light on and off, or someone in your, you know, you want to run everything with your phone, but there's someone in your house who wants to use a button, this comes with a button. And the Hue ones don't. And I think that's great.
They changed the white only kit, the mid-range one, the one that's $130. It now comes with a remote. That's the
Hue.
Thing.
The Hue kit.
Thank you. Because that word was in my head, but never came through the microphone.
Yes.
Yeah. So otherwise it's a $25 add-on.
Yeah. And I like that this comes with a remote out of the box, and I'm like you, I'm excited about the opportunity that this affords other people. So if you want to get into it, you can get into it with some neat bulbs. I mean, the bulbs are nice looking. So if you're going to put them in an exposed fixture where you have to look at them, at least they're not like ugly. Mm-hmm. And they're LED. So, you know, no matter what you do, they're going to end up saving you some money if you're swapping out CFs or even full on old school incandescents. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a lot, like there's a lot going for them now. And I can't wait to see like in 6 months or, you know, maybe even like maybe longer, where next January, February, after everybody sets them up after Christmas time, like where people actually end up with these kits and with these bulbs, because I like where this is going. This is the reason that I ended up down the home automation rabbit hole, is because Philips made these LED bulbs that you could run with your phone. And that was basically what got Mr. Kelly on board in the first place. So,
and now here we are.
Yes.
And IKEA's getting in on the game.
And I'm very interested in how they go about this, because I feel like this is a little bit more, I feel like this is the right approach to be a company that makes light bulbs who is adding HomeKit technology to them, as opposed to being a HomeKit company that wants to make a light bulb. Because what's important is that you have a solid light bulb that works really well. And the stuff in my house that isn't Hue is IKEA bulbs. Okay. And they're solid. So I'm looking forward to being able to boss those around further now.
Awesome. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up.
Rats.
I know. And I was thinking, you know, maybe without John here today, we'd still be able to keep from running over. Nope.
No.
So there you go. Hey, Kelly, I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for joining me.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, I am so glad that you are here as well. Let me know, what sticker pack should I make next? You know how to find me. Let me know. And I can't wait to see where I end up with this batch of stickers. The possibilities are nearly endless. Hey, yes, so thanks for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.